From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. He may have gotten his start writing jingles, but today B.J. Lederman is best known for his public radio theme music, the music behind NPR's Morning Edition and American Public Media's Marketplace, even Car Talk's Stump the Chump theme. Now, a new venture, B.J. Lederman is releasing his debut album titled B.J. We talked to him about his inspiration, his fear of success, and what he thinks a theme song needs to accomplish.
A few bars of music will get the listener in the mood and in the right place and aligned with what the show is, if I've done a good job, quicker than minutes of talking.
Plus how he turned his mother's voicemails into music. It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. If you're a frequent listener to public radio, you've heard one name again and again at the end of programs, during the credits, sometimes tucked into odd moments of a program, B.J. Lederman. Take a listen and see if you recognize his work. Just a sample of the work B.J. Lederman has done for public radio in a career that has spanned nearly four decades. And he's just released his debut album, B.J. B.J. Lederman, welcome to On the Record.
Man, you know, my whole life just flashed in front of my eyes. Ears.
Well,
sorry.
Not quite your whole life, because there's more to it with this new album. We're going to talk about that later. But let me ask you this. NPR's Morning Edition went on the air in the fall of 1979. How did you get your demo tape in the hands of the producers there?
I was going to American University and not actually studying too much, and I was doing jingles, everything from car commercials to a dairy with a singing cow. I'm sorry about that, but I actually did a singing cow. And I got this cassette of jingles to a friend of mine, Skip Peasy, who was at that time in the engineering department at NPR, and that's when they were cooking up a new morning news show, yet unnamed, and they were really scurrying to get a theme. And he had slipped the tape to the then producer, Jim Russell, and Jim sent him a note saying, "Get me B.J. Lederman." And so I met with Jim, and he told me, you know, what he wanted, what the show was going to sound like. And I went home, I think, for spring break and just banged it out on my mom's piano and made a little four-track demo. And they loved it. And the interesting thing is Jim Russell left the show before it began to air. And Jay Kernis replaced him or took over the reins. And Jim actually brought the tape into a creative session and said, "Here, this is BJ's theme. We like it. Use it." So I wouldn't be talking to you if not for that wonderful handoff.
Of course, Morning Edition led to a whole career in public radio theme music. What do you need to know about a show before you start drafting a theme for it?
I just basically need to know who the audience is going to be. You know, actually, when I talk with producers about writing music, I'll let you in on a secret, and it's not going to be a secret for long, I guess. I don't read music. All of the instrumental and orchestral themes that you've been hearing have been arranged by the wonderful man by the name of Jim Pugh. And for the past few years, he's been trombone player for Steely Dan, which really thrills me. But he was put together with me on the second version of Morning Edition way back in the day. And he was an A-list trombone player, a session player for jingles and themes and show soundtracks and movies and all that stuff. And he would assemble this great group of musicians every time. And I don't think I'd be talking to you today, really, if not for Jim Pugh. But basically, I take English language descriptions of feelings, and I even say to the producers, hey, play me a cut or two of songs out there that you really like and stuff that you don't like. And I guess I was blessed with this ability to turn, you know, descriptions in English into music. I don't really know how I do it.
So you're thinking about the audience when you write.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to think about. And the first thing is don't make them turn the channel. And luckily, I think that my music, you know, I'm an old school guy, being my age. And I write songs with melodies that you actually stick in your head and you sort of get you humming. And so they wear well over time. I think that's my secret. And, you know, NPR has not asked me to do another arrangement, a different arrangement of Morning Edition, Weekend Edition, or any of those other themes in a long time now. I think I want to do that at some point, at least, you know, bring them into this milieu, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with award-winning composer B.J. Lederman about how he writes his energetic and catchy public radio theme songs. Your themes seem pretty up-tempo. Is that a requirement? Is that necessary?
That's a good question, Sheila. I guess if I was doing a show about depression, I would write a very slow ballad type of theme, you know, in a minor key. But I'm a rock and roll guy. I mean, my first instrument is the drums. I have a drum set up in my living room. And once a day, every day, I get up there and I will just crank something stupid like, you know, Rolling Stones Shattered and just beat the hell out of this drum set. Yes, I have an up-tempo soul. I have a rock and roll up-tempo, 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, the Beatles singing, I Saw Her Standing There, which, by the way, is why I'm in music and not a brain surgeon or, you know, a rocket scientist now.
Well, when you were describing a minute ago your work, it almost sounded like you set out to create earworms, that part of what you're looking for is something that will nestle into our brains and that will keep repeating even when we're not hearing it, that will keep repeating inside our own heads. Is that what you're going for?
Yeah, that's part of it. I guess it would be hard for me to write anything now that is not an earworm type of thing. You know, I've been doing this for so long that if you said, hey, man, write a piece of music that no one's going to remember, I don't know if I could do it. It's like asking Stephen Sondheim to write Simple, which he tried to do on Merrily We Roll Along. But that's beside the point.
Do you worry about people getting sick of a theme?
You know, right now I don't worry about anything. I worry about remembering what I had to eat yesterday and who these people are that I'm bumping into on the streets of Asheville, North Carolina every day, because my memory is going quickly. I think, you know, if you want to get off the showbiz track for a second, you're talking to somebody who is probably going down the dementia boulevard thing. So, no, I don't worry about any of that right now.
That's a pretty serious observation. I have read that you're dealing with bipolar. I didn't realize that you think you're dealing with dementia. Is that from Lyme disease?
Yeah, it all started with Lyme disease about 3 decades ago. And I didn't know that I was bitten by the tick. I saw a bullseye rash and all that stuff. And I didn't know what it was because I was in Israel. I'd left for Israel from Shelter Island, New York, where I was in the woods in the summer, you know, and that's where I got the tick. And then about 3 days later, I was sick as, you know, almost to death on this tour in Israel, and I did see a bullseye rash, but I didn't know what it was. So years went by, and then I saw a picture of someone with this bullseye rash on the internet, and I said, oh my God, that's what I got, and that's when I got treated. But it was a little late. So you know, who knows what's going on with me? Sheila, I was struck by lightning when I was 7 years old in summer camp. Yeah. So I had my first near-death experience then. You know, I had my second near-death experience last January 20th.
Okay, got it.
I'm sorry. I'm playing with you.
I noticed you described what you did before you sent that demo tape to Jim Russell at NPR. You described your earlier stuff as jingles. Is that a fair way to describe what you've done for NPR?
When I use the term jingles, I think in the business we refer to the short pieces of music that are sung. And, I mean, the younger folk, when they hear some of these things from way back when, it does sound quite silly. I mean, when someone like a law firm asked me to do a jingle, I would desperately try to talk them out of it because, you know, I didn't want to, hey, the Joel Bieber Law Firm will get you out of jail. I mean, what the hell is that? It's ridiculous. But I would do some of those. The themes, on the other hand, are I take more seriously.
Well, what does a theme need to accomplish?
A theme needs to accomplish instantly creating an identity with the show. And here's the deal. Music goes directly to your heart and your soul. And a few bars of music will get the listener in the mood and in the right place and aligned with what the show is, if I've done a good job, quicker than minutes of talking can do. And there, if I've done my job correctly, when they hear, and actually I've heard this for decades now, people write me and they go, you know, I've had a bad week or a bad day, and I hear the opening strains of Morning Edition or the opening strains of Weekend Edition, and immediately all of that washes away. And I know what they mean by that. I mean, I don't want to take too much credit for that, but there's some sort of comfort in a theme that you hear that you like, or that at the very best doesn't turn you off. But part of that is because of the show. If the show wasn't good, then no amount of good theme music by me would make that connection in the listener's heart and soul, you know, that nice warm feeling.
I totally get what you're talking about how one of your themes immediately puts each of us where we should be to be ready for that show. But you just said a few minutes ago that you think it may be time to update some of these themes. How will you keep that comfortable recognizability if you update them?
Well, at the very least, what we can do is add some tracks to the existing themes, to the existing cuts. When I think of that specifically, what I think of is making it more punchy or percussion-wise, maybe adding some subliminal percussive loops in the background so that the audience really doesn't maybe not pick up on exactly what we're doing, but we'll go, man, this sounds a little hipper and a little closer to what's going on today in music. Although I don't hold that up as a paragon of virtue. That's a whole other show if you want to get into that.
Yeah,
indeed.
We're going to take a quick break now. And when we come back, BJ Liederman's first album, titled BJ, dropped on Saturday. Why is he just now coming out with his debut album? We'll ask him in a minute. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking with public radio composer BJ Liederman. For nearly four decades, his melodies have graced the public airwaves, accompanying such shows as American Public Media's Marketplace and NPR's Morning Edition. And wait, don't tell me. He's just released his debut album, BJ. You've had a very long career. Why did you wait so long to create your own album?
That's a good question. I've been talking about this thing for about 30 years. While I'm playing in bands. What people don't know, really, and they may find out, is that my theme music gig is my side gig in my life. Playing in bands is what I've been doing. And I guess I've been afraid of success as well as failure. I've been writing these songs that are on this album for the past 20 to 30 years. Some of them are old, some of them are quite new. It's a roller coaster ride. It's a fun thing. And I did the album once, and I was not quite happy with the result, so I shelved it for a while. And then I hired a producer. I realized that I was getting in my own way of getting this album done. It's kind of micromanaging things. And when you do it yourself, you're so close to it, you don't know what you've got. And so we reached out. Mixer Man, Eric Serafin, is a 25-year producer veteran in L.A. He just moved to Asheville recently, and he didn't have a project. So we got together, and some of my friends in the Randall Bramlett Band introduced me to Randall a while ago, and they're my backup band. It's such a groove train. It's so fun to play with them. They go out on tour as a backup band for Bonnie Raitt and Greg Allman, and Randall plays with the Smashing Pumpkins sometimes. And then a special treat on the top of all of this is that at the Leaf Festival in Black Mountain in Asheville, I was introduced to Bela Fleck a couple of years ago, and I asked him if he would like to play on the album. I told him I had some instrumentals, some very short instrumentals that I'd done in the 80s or 90s. I can't remember which one. And he agreed to play on three of them, so he invited me to his studio in Nashville and allowed me to produce him.
I'm sorry, I didn't get the name. This was, you were introduced to whom?
His name is Bela Fleck. He's known mostly with his band Bela Fleck and the Flecktones, but he's a banjo player, among other things, and he's fabulous. So he's playing on three instrumentals. He tours with his wife, Abigail Washburn, and that's when I met the two of them playing together at the Lake Eden Art Festival here. And so it's a wonderful situation to have him on my album.
That's composer B.J. Lederman here on the record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about his career creating public radio theme songs and his debut album titled B.J. I want listeners to hear part of one of his tracks. This is Sometimes.
Sometimes I think of all the times I think about the times I'm thinking about nothing else but you. You know, it seems so very hard to go about my busy day, but I've got nothing else to do. Your face committed to my memory. My life just isn't what it used to be. Oh, no.
Tell us about that song.
That's one of the older ones. That represents a number of songs on the album that are just fun and comical and quirky. And this is not a Sgt. Pepper concept type of album. It's all over the place. There's some ridiculously funny stuff on there. One of them is called Mom's Phone Messages. My dear departed mother would call me, you know, and I can do her voice.
BJ, don't eat romaine lettuce. There's something wrong with romaine. You can buy the other lettuces, but don't eat romaine lettuce.
So I grabbed a bunch of these voicemails from her, and I put them on my computer, and I edited them together and mixed them with some funky background music and played them to some people, not really thinking that they would go anywhere, but that a lot of people said, BJ, you got to put this on the album. So we had the band, you know, do music underneath this, and it's really a riot, and I'm sure that I'll be damned for all time for putting this on the album. But there's another quirky song that's from the viewpoint of my dog, Maisie, and I sort of do a Frank Zappa type of voice with some cool jazz in the background and Randall Bramlett blowing some cool sax. And Maisie goes, my name is Maisie, and I'm BJ's dog. We're having a music video done to that song now. But there are also some pretty serious songs. There's a tune called History 911 that I wrote when the first Gulf War was going on, and it's basically about how easy it is to get involved in war and conflict and how hard it is to get out and what a long time it takes. This is the direction I'm headed. I don't want all of my material to be quirky. I do want to press the idea to the younger generation that even though, for instance, this song mentions, starts with Vietnam and mentions Richard Nixon, goes through to George W. Bush and how we lost our minds and voted him back into office twice, you know, that's my point of view. And to the younger generation, I would say you'll read about this in your history books, but you can just change the names and this type of thing will repeat over and over again unless you learn the lessons.
What is the difference between writing theme music and pop songs?
There's a lot of differences. One, the themes have got to accomplish what they need to accomplish in a short period of time. Pop songs, although historically short, you know, the early rock and roll songs were no longer than 2.5 minutes mostly, until the Beatles broke the barrier with Hey Jude. You want to guess how long that was, Sheila?
I couldn't begin to.
With all the na-nas at the end, it was 7 minutes, 11 seconds. I just know that because I'm a Beatle freak. But you pretty much have carte blanche with pop and rock and roll. There were never any rules, even at the beginning, after the British invasion happened. And there are no rules now. So you can basically do whatever you want, as long as you want, as short as you want, as noisy as you want.
You mentioned being afraid of success as well as failure. Is it scary to release an album of your own music rather than music you've written for someone else for their project?
Oh, sure. This is killing me. This is making me cray-cray. I've steeled myself for whatever reaction happens. I need to go back and tell you that, you know, I am extremely happy and satisfied with the, quote, 15 minutes. You know, I've had much more than 15 minutes of, shall we say, public radio fame. And I'm happy with my place in the universe with that. I think I did a good job with that. I was in the right place at the right time. I had friends from Skip Peasy, the engineer who handed my tape over to Jim Russell and Jay Kernis, who, you know, they were the ones that said, let's give BJ a credit and let's write it into his contract. So I'm like the only dude that gets an audio credit on the air on NPR network-produced shows. So I'm lucky that my name is BJ Lederman and not John Smith. It just sticks out. And so, but as far as the album coming out, I think it's going to do people a world of good. There's a lot of, I think this country is under a lot of stress and strain right now. And I think that music is a good salve for that. It's you just put an album like mine on, and in a few minutes, you forget most of your troubles. You'll be singing and dancing. And I think that's basically what this first album is for.
I read that you're already working on your next album. How is that going to be different?
Oh, really? What's it called?
I don't know. You tell me.
I think I'm going to call the next one Bipolar Bear and get into some more serious subjects. You know, I've been trying to be a good boy for NPR for the last 3 or 4 decades. I mean, I think I'm really the devil inside. You know, I'm a troublemaker. I'm an activist. I'm not an NPR employee, but I think most of the NPR listenership does align me with the idea of being, you know, the musical thematic voice of NPR shows. And I don't want to, you know, ruin it for them. They've had a history of some people. Anyway, I'm not going to get into all that. But later on, I do have to kind of wean myself from the warmth and comfort of the NPR idea. And this is basically BJ 2.0. This is what I've always wanted to do. And I think I can, you know, John Lennon wrote Imagine. It's just the most simple 3-verse song. I think he changed the world more, changed people's hearts and minds more with that one song than he did in his whole career. And I think I can do a little bit of that with the next album. Some of that's on this album. One of the last song on the album is called Praise One Another, and it's a gospel group singing a chorus, Praise One Another, Worship One Another, love one another, and the whole round world will be fine. And that's the idea I'm trying to get across.
Good luck with this album.
Thank you so much, Sheila. I really am excited to be on the record, and I hope you had fun. I hope you'll have fun with the album.
Really enjoyed talking to you. Thank you very much. BJ Liederman, the award-winning composer of some of the best-known theme music on public radio. His first album, titled BJ, was just released. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.